So the theme of this homily is theophanies. Theophanies, that is God's revelation to humanity. The Transfiguration is itself a theophany, where Jesus is revealed in his divinity, a hint of his divinity. Even the radiance, even the brightness of his clothes, that still is a hint of the fullness of his divinity. But it is a revelation of his divine nature. You have Moses and Elijah affirming that this is the fulfillment, Jesus, of the law and the prophets. And then the theophany of the voice of the Father from the clouds. It's curious, though, in this theophany, the reaction of the disciples, that you have these, again, different theophanies, Moses and Elijah revealing God's word, God's prophets, Jesus revealing the Son of God, and the voice of the Father. But the reaction changes. The apostles, at first, I would say they're kind of overwhelmed, but they're still hanging there with Jesus. They're overwhelmed, but they want to be there. They say, "It's good to be here. Let us build three tents," Peter says. But then when the voice of the Father comes, they're terrified, and they fall on the ground, and they can't even look up. They can't even take it. What's going on here? What does that have to do with us? And what can we do about it? So what's going on here? What does that have to do with us? And what can we do about it? Well, first, what's going on? This reminds me of a theophany, because theophanies happen throughout the Bible at key moments when God is doing something. He reveals himself. The book of Exodus is one of those places where God is doing something. He reveals himself. There are two theophanies, I think, that relate to what we see in today's Transfiguration. First, the burning bush. You may be familiar with it in Exodus chapter 3. Moses, a shepherd minding his own business, when he sees a strange sight, a bush that is on fire, but it is not consumed. He approaches this bush out of curiosity, and then he hears a voice from the bush, "Moses, Moses," calling his name, instructing him to remove his sandals, for he is on holy ground. And he covers himself. Okay. And then in Exodus chapter 19 and 20, you have the people of God. After Moses leads the people through the Red Sea, they approach Mount Sinai, and God reveals the guidance that is the law for them to follow in communion with the Lord, the Ten Commandments. And in that revelation on Mount Sinai, there is fire, thunder, lightning, clouds. The people are terrified. They can't even get close to the mountain. They say, no, we can't take this. And it's related, I would say, to these theophanies in today's Transfiguration. Why? One, there's something familiar about the revelation when Jesus shows his divinity, but also with Moses and Elijah, that the apostles, they're drawn. They want to stay there. They've been hearing about Moses and Elijah their entire lives. And so it's like, oh, look, it's as if, you know, they're old friends. They've never left. And Jesus himself, too, they've been walking with for over 2 years. And so, in the midst of that, they're kind of drawn to that, like Moses drawn to the burning bush. It's something familiar, but there's something new, right? But then likewise, with the voice of the Father, with the voice of the Son, there's something overwhelming about that. And I would suggest there's something unfamiliar. Even though they've heard of God, they've never heard the voice of God speak. And even though they've heard of God as their Lord, they've never known him as Father. And so they're terrified. They can't take it. Just like the Israelites, they can't take it. They can't take this revelation of the covenant, of the closeness of God. They can't take it, perhaps because of their own weakness. They can't take the revelation of the law because of their own selfishness and their inability to follow through. So you have that twofold divinity. Now, what does that have to do with you and me? I would suggest that likewise, many of us in our faith, we have access to God through Jesus Christ. It's only natural, right? He is the Word made flesh. It's only natural that we have an image or we have some artistic interpretation. Many people say they love the Chosen, or maybe you have a different artistic representation of Jesus that draws your heart. In our churches, we have prominently artistic interpretations of Jesus, the crucifixion. Here in our church, Divine Mercy. In many of your homes, you have the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So it's only natural that you're drawn to these images. They're familiar. There's something comforting about them. But when it comes to a relationship with God the Father, I would suggest many of us are in the position of the apostles, where it's something distant, something otherworldly, and it's something that we don't know about. Perhaps three reasons why God the Father may feel distant, where God the Son feels close to us. Three reasons. One, my experience ministering, but also in my own human family, I would suggest of all the relationships in the human family, one relationship that's easy to kind of get out of sorts is our relationship to our fathers. I'm just speaking that from my own experience and hearing others, that the father has such a place in the family that very small actions can have reverberating effects on a child's life. And I don't think it's necessarily a fault of the father. I think it's just the importance of that relationship. But at the same time, there are actions of our fathers that we take to heart literally in hurt, and then in some ways we project that onto God the Father. So for example, if we had a father, if our relationship to the father was marked by absence, not being present, again, maybe our dad's own weakness, or maybe on account of some difficulty or tragedy, we may project that onto God the Father and assume that God is equally distant as our earthly father. Or if we grew up where our dad was quick to criticize and slow to praise, we may assume the same of God the Father, that our Father in heaven is critical and judgmental. Or any number of things, that maybe our Father on earth is not emotionally available. Again, he may very well be, but not as much as I needed him to be. And so we may project that onto God the Father, that God is emotionally distant. On account of our father wounds, but secondly, on account of our unfamiliarity with scriptures. Last week, in the first Sunday of Lent, Jesus in the desert, the tempter says to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." Jesus said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Have you ever lived a life not living on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God? For many of us, that's kind of a foreign concept. Living on the word of God, what does that mean? I open the Bible and I feel nothing. I open the Bible and I leave confused. For many people, the Bible feels a little inaccessible. And I think that may be a difficulty. Our difficulty of getting into the scripture, getting into the word, is why we may feel distant from our Heavenly Father. And finally, another aspect of our relationship with our Father is that if God is one who wants to provide, it is very easy for us, especially in our culture, to provide for ourselves and not to rely on our Heavenly Father. Right? I mean, we have so much at our fingertips that if you come home from school, from work, feeling down, feeling deflated, feeling you can do something to make yourself feel better, to medicate. You can go to a screen and numb out. You can go to these ultra-processed foods and just kind of medicate, eat your emotions. It's so easy for us to provide where God should be providing. It's very easy for us to kind of be self-sufficient and to not rely on God's providential care, for have some emotional or spiritual need, and rather than going to my Father in heaven who wants to provide, grasp and to fill my own needs. Okay. So that's a reality, that often we have a distance with our Heavenly Father. What can we do about it? Well, there's many things, as I've suggested, right? Getting into the Bible. But I want to suggest one thing. I do this every Lent. The sacrament of confession. The sacrament of confession. I know Catholics, there are many excuses why we don't go. I'm not sure they're really good excuses. But I just want to invite you. Because what we call the sacrament of confession, it's not the sacrament of shame. It's not the sacrament of, I told you so. And it's not the sacrament of, how could you do that? It's called the sacrament of healing. And if many of us have, maybe we've resolved our earthly relationship with our Father. Many of us have an unresolved relationship with our Heavenly Father. That needs healing. And what is confession? But yes, it's the technical thing of knowing you are forgiven. Like knowing, boom, forgiveness is here. But it's a revelation of the Father's heart for His children. Jesus says very clearly, Luke chapter 15, there is greater joy in heaven over one who repents than over 99 who have no need of repentance. What is that joy? Yes, the joy of your family in heaven, the joy of your guardian angel, the joy of the Mother of God, but also the joy of your Heavenly Father. Your Father is happy when you come to confession. That's what Jesus says. And so confession is meant to be healing by God loving us in all those places where I've tried to take care of my own needs like an orphan, apart from my Heavenly Father. So we have our penance service this Thursday. If you can't make it, we have many others of our neighboring parishes. St. John's penance service is this Wednesday. St. Mark is later in Lent. We publish them all in our bulletin, so you can check it out and see which penance service works with your schedule. I believe it's a beautiful opportunity, again, for that revelation. Not this God who wants to dominate, not a God who wants to overpower, but a Father who provides words of guidance. This is my beloved Son, the Father says, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. So let us pray that we may be open to God's revelation, the Father's revelation of His fatherly love, so we may not be afraid in our world. We may turn to God in confidence with our needs and know His love that conquers all fears. Amen.